inch as thick as his finger, labeled Moro 709.
Good work, Tim.
He slung the belt around his shoulder and stuck the gun in his trousers.
Is it a tranquilizer gun?
I'd say so.
What about the boat?
Lex said.
I think it's on the dock, Grant said.
They started down the road. Grant carried the oars on his shoulder.
I hope it's a big raft, Lex said, because I can't swim.
Don't worry, he said.
Maybe we can catch some fish, she said.
They walked down the road with a sloping embankment rising up on both sides of them. They heard a deep, rhythmic snorting sound, but Grant could not see where it was coming from.
Are you sure there's a raft down here?
Lex said, wrinkling her nose.
Probably,
Grant said. The rhythmic snorting became louder as they walked, but they also heard a steady droning, buzzing sound. When they reached the end of the road, at the edge of the small concrete dock, Grant froze in shock. The Tyrannosaur was right there. It was sitting upright in the shade of a tree, its hind legs stretched out in front. Its eyes were open, but it was not moving, except for its head, which lifted and fell gently with each snorting sound. The buzzing came from the clouds of flies that surrounded it, crawling over its face and slack jaws, its bloody fangs, and the red haunch of a killed hadrosaur that lay on its side behind the Tyrannosaur. The Tyrannosaur was only 20 yards away. Grant felt sure it must have seen him, but the big animal did not respond. It just sat there. It took him a moment to realize. The Tyrannosaur was asleep, sitting up, but asleep. He signaled to Tim and Lex to stay where they were. Grant walked slowly forward onto the dock in full view of the Tyrannosaur. The big animal continued to sleep, snoring softly. Near the end of the dock, a wooden shed was painted green to blend with the foliage. Grant quietly unlatched the door and looked inside. He saw a half dozen orange life vests hanging on the wall, several rolls of wire mesh fencing, some coils of rope, and two big rubber cubes sitting on the floor. The cubes were strapped tight with flat rubber belts. Rafts. He looked back at Lex. She mouthed, "No boat." He nodded, "Yes." The Tyrannosaur raised its forelimb to swipe at the flies buzzing around its snout, but otherwise it did not move. Grant pulled one of the cubes out onto the dock. It was surprisingly heavy. He freed the straps, found the inflation cylinder. With a loud hiss, the rubber began to expand, and then with a hiss, whap, it popped fully open on the dock. The sound was fearfully loud in their ears. Grant turned, stared up at the dinosaur. The Tyrannosaur grunted and snorted. It began to move. Grant braced himself to run, but the animal shifted its ponderous bulk, and then it settled back against the tree trunk and gave a long, growling belch. Lex looked disgusted, waving her hand in front of her face. Grant was soaked in sweat from the tension. He dragged the rubber raft across the dock. It flopped into the water with a loud splash. The dinosaur continued to sleep. Grant tied the boat up to the dock and returned to the shed to take out two life preservers. He put these in the boat and then waved for the kids to come out onto the dock. Pale with fear, Lex waved back,
"No."
He gestured, "Yes." The Tyrannosaur continued to sleep. Grant stabbed in the air with an emphatic finger. Lex came silently, and he gestured for her to get into the raft. Then Tim got in, and they both put on their life vests. Grant got in and pushed off. The raft drifted silently out into the lagoon. Grant picked up his paddles and fitted them into the oarlocks. They moved farther from the